This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 2, is an admonishment from the writer of Hebrews to believers. And he said, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." Pay close attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift. I think understanding that all of us have a tendency to drift, that is part of the human condition. We just finished a series where we talked about where the psalmist said that you would meditate in scriptures day and night. Joshua was told to meditate in scriptures day and night. And there's this emphasis of if we don't pay attention to it, it's easy to forget it. And so, again, that's just not your fault, not my fault. That's just part of human life. We get busy with stuff. Things happen. If we're not careful, we can forget all the good things. But we're going to talk about how we can remember those. So it's also part of the fallen world that we live in. We live in a world that doesn't honor God, a world that doesn't acknowledge Him. And so if you're not careful, you can just go over a while and you realize there's no remembrance of God. You have to be intentional about it. Look at this verse, and I believe it's in Proverbs. Is it Proverbs or Psalms? Psalms 10:4. "In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him," him being God. "In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." Now, a lot of times people get hung up on that word wicked. And you think, well, I'm not wicked. And I don't know anybody that's wicked. I know some people that are ornery. I know some people that have a nasty disposition. But I don't know anybody that's wicked. The word wicked is not, we use wicked now, unless you're from Boston, we use the word wicked now to mean really, like really, really a bad, bad serial killer type person. But actually this word wicked means guilty and in the wrong. Guilty and in the wrong. He says, so someone who's guilty and in the wrong, it said they don't seek God. And there's no room for God in all his thoughts. Now, I'm gonna mention some things tonight. Now, I don't want you to get negative on this, but I'm gonna throw out, for example, television and movies. You can just watch them, and not even watching good shows, clean, wholesome shows. Have you ever noticed hardly there's no interaction with God at all? I used to be amazed at sitcoms because they could solve problems or you know, hour-long dramas. They solve every problem in an hour. And God was never a part of it. And so you just watch that, and you know, watch that and watch that. And you realize that we live in a world where God's not acknowledged. We live in the world. That's one of the values of church. Is that when we come in, we worship Him. We honor Him. We look around. We see other people that love Him and believe Him. And it does something for us. It encourages us. That's a good reminder. God's not dead. God's alive. He's very much alive. And He's real. But it's like living in a fog. We live in a world that you've ever been through a fog and be a beautiful day and all of a sudden you hit a fog bank and it's just foggy and you're like, I know the sun's shining. I know it's out there, but it's foggy right now. That's kind of like living in the world we live in. The sun is shining. We know it's out there, but it's foggy. You can't hardly see it. And so in entertainment and in ideologies that are out there today, often there is no mention of God. There's no room for God. And when God is mentioned, often he's horribly misrepresented. And usually when Hollywood does a Christian, they're flaky or weird or, you know, just really whacked. And you just don't say, I mean, have you ever watched a sitcom where the father looked over the mom and said, we need to pray about this. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask for your help and understanding our kids before we kill them, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. But you see nothing like that. And so what happens is, after a while, you go along, and if you don't do something intentional, you live in a world where people don't acknowledge God, people don't believe it's real. That's why we need good Christian friends. Yes, sir. Yes. That's why when you're going through a tough time, you need to talk to somebody who will believe God with you.
Amen.
somebody you can call and you go, man, I am leaving him. I am sick and tired of him. I am leaving him. And you need someone to go, oh, no, you're not, darling. You've been praying for this man for a long time, and you're going to continue to pray for him, and you're going to stay in there. We're going to believe God with you. Stick. Yeah. The applause was good. It was tepid, but it was good. I mean, but we need one another. And it's good. That's why you need good Christian friends. Well, I don't need good Christian friends. Yes, you do. Yes. We all do. We all need, especially if you're living in an environment where maybe you're the only Christian in your household. Listen to me. Don't try to run this race alone. You need to get in here and get some friends and get some people that you can pray with and people that will trust God with you. Because you're living in a world where no one acknowledges Him. And the pride and the arrogance we have today, there's no room for God. And nowadays, it used to be that people, if they didn't believe in God, they were respectful. Those days are gone. They're not respectful. They're blatantly blasphemous. And so we're living in that time. So it's the world we live in. But listen, guys, God has always encouraged His people not to forget, because God's people have always lived in the midst of a world that has not acknowledged God. I mean, we think we live in a bad place. How about when the children of Israel would go into the promised land, all those people in there were, you talk about some wild stuff going on. They were worshiping all these weird gods, and there was just, they would make their children pass through fire. Some of the sexual stuff that went on there was absolutely hideous. It's not like they stepped into a really nice Southern Baptist culture. And so God is talking to His people, and He's like, you guys are going to need to remember. And so here's some ways He had them remember. For one, He said, don't forget God in the good times. Deuteronomy 8 says, when you have eaten, God's talking to the nation of Israel. He said, you've come into the promised land. The whole chapter 8 is a great chapter. You ought to read that chapter. He said, when you've eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. So beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you this day. He told the nation of Israel, He said, you guys are going into this land. It's a good land. It's a wonderful land. You're going to get houses you didn't build. You're going to get stuff you didn't buy. I'm going to give you this land. It's going to be a wonderful land. And when you've eaten and are full, He said, then you ought to bless the Lord. In other words, even when you're satisfied, you ought to praise God. That is not the time to get out of church when things are good. When things are good is the time you ought to stay in there going, thank you. Things are good, and I am appreciative of that. But the Bible says, lest we forget. So I understand this. It's human nature. When things are going good, there's a tendency for all of us to go, I got this. It's like, oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Oh, we got this solved? Okay, I got it from here, Lord. I got it. It's mine. Hey, listen, all of us have done that. That's human nature. That's a tendency. And God says, don't do that. In fact, He warns them later on in the chapter. He said, and don't go looking around thinking, I did this. I did all this. Listen, if you've been blessed, if the Lord has blessed you, listen, we ought to be so grateful and so thankful. And someone says, man, you've got a wonderful situation. You just seem so happy. Don't go, I'm just a happy person. It'd be a whole lot better if you go, you know, I used not to be nearly as happy. But God's done a work in my heart. And I tell you, there's just a joy in my heart. I can't explain to you. You'd have to know Him to understand. But at least give Him some credit. Yes. If your marriage has been put back together, you ought to say, oh, how did y'all do it? Well, we matured. No, you didn't. There's old married couples don't get along for nothing. They just can't get to one another anymore. They're just, I could hit you, I would, but I can't. I'm not thinking about anybody, guys. I don't do the counseling here, so. But wouldn't it be better to say, the Lord has helped us? Amen. And you don't have to be weird about it. You just say, the Lord's helped us. He's been gracious to us. He's been good to us. Why? Because we don't want to act like we did it. I think when we get to heaven, there's probably going to be a real good video of all the stuff God bailed us out of that we thought we did. We're going to be like, oh, ooh. Yeah. No. Ooh. I missed that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Listen, some of you are just going to be so excited that you're there. You're going to be thanking God for just eons. Oh, thank you. I'm just so glad to be here. Really, all of us ought to be so glad to be here, because ain't none of us earned it or deserved it. And off we go. So good times. Don't forget them in the good times. Now, this is something God would actually do to spark the nation's memory. I thought this was interesting. We're going to read some Old Testament, but this is a fascinating principle. Numbers, the 15th chapter, verses 38 and 39. Speak to the sons of Israel, this is God speaking to Moses, and tell them they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot. Harlot simply means the prostitute, means you've sold out. But I thought it was fascinating. The Lord said, put some tassels. Now, tassels had no function. They're just a tassel. They were decorative. But the idea was they would see the tassels and they would remember God. Why? Because we have a tendency not to. He says, so you'd see those and remember. Now, this goes way back before smartphones. Remember when people used to tie strings around their fingers or put rubber bands around their wrist? And you say, what are you doing that for? It reminds me to feed the bird. That's a Sunday joke, but it reminds me. People used to do that. Nowadays, thank God, we have electronic reminders going off all the time, but reminding us. And so what God was doing for the nation of Israel, they didn't have, it's not like they had an iPhone, they could just tap something in. God said, these tassels are going to help you remember. So you see the tassels, what's he doing? He's trying to spark memory. Now, there was another thing he would do, that was kind of a small thing, but he would also have them build memorials of stones. They came out of when the nation of Israel, remember, they wandered in the wilderness for a long time, got delivered from Egypt, wandered in the wilderness, and they really got sideways with God, wouldn't believe him, wouldn't trust him, and so they wandered for 40 years. When it's time to go in, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Joshua, Moses was dead, Joshua was leading them in. And Joshua comes up to the banks of the Jordan, and the Lord said, go across. And so they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant that represented the presence and the glory of God. And when they put the Ark in the water, the waters of the Jordan backed up. It's like stopped it, like almost like an invisible hand held the waters back. And the whole, evidently the Jordan was at flood at this time. And so crossing rivers has always been difficult for ancient civilizations. And so they were able to cross on dry land. And so that's a pretty significant thing. But look what God has them do. Joshua, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. He said, that this may be a sign among you when your children. He said, Let me back up. After they crossed over, Joshua said, I want you to send every one of you 12 guys, a leader from each tribe, 12 tribes of Israel. He said, I want you to go into the water where we just crossed. I want you to pick up a stone. And then they would come out and they would take these stones and they would arrange them so that they were a memorial. Then this is the... Now, let's go back to that chapter. Thank you, Carrie. Speak to... It said, this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So these stones, and the kids would go, what do the stones mean? And the parents would go, well, we were coming across. We had been slaves. We're coming across. And God dried up the waters of the Jordan. We crossed over. You know, if you saw something like that, you wouldn't think that you would forget it. And yet, when you look at the nation of Israel, as you read in the Old Testament, man, God would do amazing things for them. And about a few days later, they like completely forgot about it. And so there's a, I think here's a real lesson here. One, we need to remember what God has done for us.
Yes.
And then listen to me. And then we need to tell our children. I think sometimes we think our kids are going to get it by osmosis. We take them to church. We're good people. Your kids need to know your story. If you say, well, Alan, I don't have much of a story. I got saved when I was 9 years old. I've lived a clean life. I never got involved with anything illicit. I've always been just squeaky clean. And that's a good story.
Amen.
You need to tell your kids, hey, it's possible to turn out just like that. Wonderful. But you need to tell them. Some of us have a little bit more of a scenic story to tell. But our kids need to know the scenic story. Just don't wait for them to get it. You need to tell them. Hey, listen, Mom and I, man, we didn't know the Lord, and we came together, and in fact, you were born before we were married, but then after we were married, you say, oh, I shouldn't tell my kids that. They're going to find out anyway. Someone asked me, said, Alan, did you tell your kids that you did drugs? I said, I sure did. And I told them I can recognize it too. Yeah. And I said, and if I don't, your mama hears from the Holy Spirit, she will nail you. Nothing but love from the children. Right? But what am I saying? We ought to tell our stories. Listen, grandparents, you get a chance for these grandkids to come over to your house. Maybe the kids aren't living for God. Tell them your story. Tell them what God's done for you. Why? Because you plant wonderful seeds in their little hearts. And they remember. We need to remember. I tell people, sometimes people come in, they look at this church and go, this is a big church. It's wonderful because there's big screens and everything. It's wonderful. It didn't used to be that way. When we started in the Montessori Center. There were 27 people only because we paid some to come the first time. We didn't have live worship. We had an AOI sound system. Say, why do you go over that? Because it's always good to remember where you have been and what God has done. And if you do that, then you don't walk around and think, oh, yeah, I did it because I'm a great pastor. No, I'm not. I did it because the Lord is merciful and He's gracious, and He wanted a church in Conroe that can reach an area and can share with them that God is real and He's good and He still does good things. That's why. But you need to tell them, oh, Grandpa, Grandma, y'all are just so awesome. Y'all are all so awesome. Darling, there was a time we weren't so awesome. Let me tell you what Jesus did in our lives. Let's tell our stories. Let's tell. Like you said, what my stories were, it's really that, it's kind of bad. Yeah, but tell them what God delivered. You don't have to go through all the details. You can be selective. But tell them what God has done. And this was intended to be understanding the Israelites at that time. They didn't have Bibles that they could pull out and read. So parents had to pass this down. Hey, guys, this is what God's done in our life. But I really believe, stop and think about it. Wouldn't it be good if you knew your story? So that maybe you're sitting down, all of a sudden you have an opportunity, and somebody looks at you and goes, man, I hear that you're a church-going person. I'm really going through a tough time. Could you talk to me a little bit? Wouldn't it be good to at least have an idea in your mind, you've already cranked out, about what God has done and how they can have a life with Him too? That's one of the, we don't realize, I know some of you get so tired of praying the yes prayer like we pray it every time. Well, every time we're here, people make decisions. But there's another benefit. You remember it. And I've heard people say, man, I was praying with a relative in the hospital, and they said, man, would you pray for me? I need to know I'm saved. And they bowed their head, and sure enough, the yes prayer came out. I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. You know that prayer. You can pray that with somebody. You don't have to bring them to church. You can pray with them. But it would be good to know your story. And remember where you came from. So that we don't forget and think that we just got so awesome by ourselves. I realize sometimes it unnerves people when I tell some of my past. And it's almost like people are like, Alan, you know, at your age, you really don't have to tell that. I'm glad I got to this age. Because if it hadn't been for the Lord, I may not have made it. And so I'm just grateful. And I'm not too proud to realize that, man, I didn't get here by myself. Someone said, if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you know he did not get there on his own. I'm a turtle on a fence post, baby. I know I didn't get here on my own. He's been good. Does that make sense? Remembering. So God would have Israel do that as a memorial. And there's memorials that we have today. Let's talk about some memorials that we have today. Communion is a memorial. And I was thinking, as soon as I went over that, something just rose up in me. I thought, we have not done this, but we're going to. We realize that some of you can't come on Sundays, or don't come on Sundays. Don't tell me. But just, what if we serve communion in here one night?
Yay.
And we took communion together. You say, well, if I take it on Sunday, listen, it won't hurt you. But the idea about communion is it's a memorial supper. Read the passage here in 1 Corinthians. Paul said, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, talking about what Jesus did, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So there's something that communion does when we take communion or the Lord's Supper. What happens is we're remembering that Jesus' body was broken so that ours didn't have to be, and his blood was shed for our healing. So that's, we're remembering. We're remembering a death that he didn't just come down and love us and say, hey, this is wonderful, I'm going back to heaven. He died for us. He died on a cross for us. And so we remember the broken body. We remember the shed blood. It's always good to remember. And so communion was instituted so we would not forget. And it says, and we're showing his death until he comes. In other words, and he's not dead anymore. God raised him from the dead. And so when we receive communion, we're like, Lord, thank you for your death. But we thank you even more that God raised you from the dead. And one day you will return. He will come back. And if we're on this earth, those of us who have made him our Lord and Savior, we're going with him. And I wouldn't want to be here. Even want to be here. It used to scare me. I used to think, oh, I used to play that song, I wish we'd all been ready. Anybody remember that song? Wish we'd all been ready. I think DC Talk did it in the 90s. And it talked about the rapture of the church. That song scared me so much when I was 14. I hated that song. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. I'm like, oh, God. But you know, it's something. But after I made Jesus my Lord, a song doesn't bother me at all. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready. And if you've asked him to be the Lord and Savior, don't you worry about whether or not you're going with him. If you belong to him, you're going. It didn't say perfect. It said ready. You just be ready. So communion is a memorial. Giving thanks is a memorial. I'm not going to get to it tonight. There's one more I want to talk about. Now, let me talk a little bit about giving thanks, because I want to discuss writing things down. And next week, what I'll do is I'll talk a little bit about a journaling, not a diary, a journal, writing some things down. I taught this years ago. Some people still do it, the SOAP journal, and it'll help you. But another really good memorial is giving thanks. Giving thanks will both, here's what giving thanks can do. Giving thanks can spark your memory. You can begin to give thanks, and then you can begin to remember all the wonderful things that God has done. And also is a function of your memory. You can intentionally go back and think about things God has done and then give him thanks for it. Here's some verses to think about in Psalms 30, verse 4. It says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. So we're remembering that God is good and he's holy, and we're giving thanks. So we're thanking God for what he has done. And that, again, that's going to involve our story. I sometimes run across people, I haven't seen it much, but every now and then people say, well, you know, God hasn't done that much for me. And I understand what they're saying. I think what they're saying is, I got a lot of problems going on in my life right now, and God hasn't come through for me, and so I'm really not that grateful. And that's where I want to go, no, let's back up. And the fact that if you have a relationship with Him, He's done something for you. If you have made Him the Lord, if you're your Lord, if you're a new creation in Christ, He's done something. And so there really is always a reason you can give thanks. We just have to stir ourselves up to give thanks. Now, here's one of the powerful things about giving thanks. Giving thanks helps us remember and stay grateful for what God's done. It just helps us remember. That's why I said we need to know our story. I remember where I was. I remember not being able to go to sleep at night because I was just so worried and uptight. I can remember worrying if I died where I was going to go. I can remember that. And I can remember the moment I made Jesus my Lord and all that went away. I can remember these things. But giving thanks is, we ought never stop giving thanks to God for our salvation. Ever. We just always ought to say, I'm just glad to be saved. How many of you know that sometimes we don't even think about it for a while until we go to the funeral of a loved one? And one of the first questions everyone goes with, did they know the Lord? And you go, yeah, they did. You're like, what? You ever done that? Do they know the Lord? You're like, yeah. Oh, they love the Lord. You're like, okay. Isn't that good? You're like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. But if we stay thankful, it helps us keep God in our memory. Think about this just for a moment. Any of you ever go through a period of time, you don't have to raise your hand, just think with me, a period of time where maybe you didn't have a job or you didn't have a good job. And God maybe opened a door for you and you got a much better job. Yep. Or you got a job. Oh, I will ask you that. Anybody ever been there? Yep. There's a lot of hands. Okay. Now, I won't ask you to respond to this next one. How many of you know when you first get that job, you are so stinking happy? You're like, oh, I am so glad to have this job. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I don't have that old job. Thank you. You ever notice how grateful you are when you first get that job? Now look straight ahead because I'm not looking at anybody. How many of you know that after a while you can lose that gratitude? And you're just like, where are you going? I'm going to work. Hey, we've all done it. Man, when you haven't worked for a while and you get a job, you're like, I'm going to work today, and you're early, and you're like, and everyone sees you, goes, new guy. Yeah. I tell our staff a lot of times, I said, if you want to keep on enjoying this job, stay thankful. Because when everyone comes to work for the church, you're like, glory to God, I'm working for the church where everyone is perfect. They're so happy when they come in. Like, ha. Huh. And then you see them a couple years later. You're like, where are you going? Going to work. Where you work? Church. What church? That church. Come on. Listen, are we talking about human nature? Yes. Human nature. But how many of you know if your boss walked in and said, there's going to be some layoffs. And you're like, what do you, you're like, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh, oh please, please, please. And then you're not one of them. How many of you know you are thankful again? So glad to have that. Love this job. Love it. Love it. It's a wonderful job. Here's a trick. If you just stay thankful, it keeps the job good. So, Alan, you don't... Yeah, we've had a change of boss. Now, and I realize some of you are working in difficult situations, but one, having a job is better than not having a job. And two, if we do it for the Lord, He's able to promote us regardless of who we're working for.
That's right.
True? So that gives us a reason that we can be thankful. So, if that works in a job, guess what also works? It works in our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes some of you have been saved for a long, long time. When's the last time you reached a really stopped and said, Lord, I just want to thank you that I was lost, but I'm not lost anymore. Lord, I am so grateful. Some of you raised your family in a Christian home and you have, all your family is saved. You ought to be incredibly thankful. You are a rich person. I looked over at Joy one day. I'll never forget. We were coming back from a trip and we were lamenting about some of the mistakes we've made as parents. Mostly hers. No. But we regretted this, regretted that. And I remember I stopped and I caught her and I stopped. I said, wait. We have made mistakes as parents. I understand that. I said, but every one of our kids is saved. I said, in all honesty, that means you can't get any better than that. I said, we're rich people. Now listen, some of you are right now, this is paining your heart to hear that. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. You keep claiming their salvation. You keep praying for their salvation. Listen, it's by the grace of God that Joy and I are still together, and it's by the grace of God that our children are saved. Remember the turtle on the fence post? That's a whole family of turtles on the fence post. God is good. I want to talk about a little bit about journaling and some other ways to remember next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray right now, Father, for those in here who have loved ones and children and grandchildren who don't know you, Father, we ask that you would send laborers across their path. We claim their salvation in the name of Jesus. And Father, we'll continue to believe for them with every waking breath. We thank you for that. As heads are bowed here and eyes are closed, if you came and said, Alan, I'm one who does not know whether or not he's right with God or not. I don't know that. I would like to, but I don't. Or maybe you're one that says, there was a time I was really walking with God and I've fallen away from him. But I really want to come back. Or we're going to, listen, this is so simple. We're not going to have you get up. No gymnastics, nothing to go through. We're going to pray. And sitting in your chair, you can make a connection with God that lasts for eternity, or you can come back to him. So we're going to pray one prayer. It's going to cover you. It's short, but it's powerful, and you can do this. If you're one of the ones I'm talking to tonight, you say, Alan, that is me. And I know I need the Lord, or I need to come back to him. I want to be in on this prayer. Real quickly, just slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thanks. Thanks. Yes, in the back. Thanks. Yes, that's. Thanks. Over on the side. Thank you. Wonderful. A lot of hands went up. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you're just afraid. Listen, you can push right past that. We're going to pray this prayer. You pray this from your heart. This will make all the difference in the world. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior. It's the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.